This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, May 30th, 2021. Trinity Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Go therefore and make disciples.
May the words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Those words of our Lord Jesus Christ before he ascends into heaven, it's got to be pretty important to think that these are the last things he says to the church. They are our marching orders. Go therefore, make disciples. Those words are clear, they're direct. He emphasizes something that he wants done, to teach them. Says that twice, just those couple verses. We have to understand that this commission that our Lord Jesus Christ gives us is something that is going to be arduous. It is going to be very difficult. This is why we use the term spiritual warfare. This is why St. Paul uses military analogies for what we do, because the evangel, the good news, spreading it is a manly task. It takes bravery. It takes directness. We're not doing what we were told. And I don't mean we, I mean we, generally speaking, the Catholic Church. As I said, our Lord is specific and he is direct. Go therefore, teach ye all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. Go therefore and make disciples, not go and attract disciples. In contrast to what our Lord Jesus Christ said, there was a homily preached last week on Pentecost in a land far away. Part of that homily says, the Paraclete is telling the church that today is the day of comforting. It is more the time for joyfully proclaiming the gospel than for combating paganism. It's time for bringing the joy of the risen Lord, not for lamenting the drama of secularization. It's more a time for testifying to mercy than for inculcating rules and regulations. That sounds a bit different. At the very best, it is evangel light. At the worst, it's not what Jesus Christ told us to do. This emphasis on joy and mercy, which are not to be negated, that's what we're hoping for. Did you get this military picture in your mind? The joy and the mercy are the parades, the ticker tape, the celebrations after victory. And you see these pictures of victorious armies marching down the streets of New York. Can't even see them for the ticker tape. People just lauding. What had to happen before that parade? Death, blood, maiming, loss. That's the reality of spiritual warfare. Joy and mercy are a consequence of the gospel. They are not the gospel. The gospel is all things that Jesus Christ has told us. The opening of that homily, the Paraclete is telling the church that today, the last time I read, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. At his own mouth, said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. The Holy Spirit has told the church and telling them or something different now. Today, we have our marching orders. We're supposed to fight this fight just like our predecessors have. And just like, pray God, some will still be standing to take up this banner and go forward. The Paraclete has told the church what she is to do. This is not time for joyful proclaiming more than for combating paganism. Time for testifying of mercy than inculcating rules and regulations. The gospel is the combating of paganism. The gospel is the lamentation over secularization in this world. That's why we exist. That is our mission, to combat paganism. The mercy that we teach is you need to come from the darkness in which you find yourself into the marvelous light of Christ. It's there waiting for you. You just need to come. And so we're not there to attract people. Jesus didn't say that. He says, make disciples. There is no Muslim. There is no Jew. There is no Hindu. There is no rank atheist that wakes up in the morning and goes, hey, you know what? This morning I think I want to be made a disciple of Jesus Christ. What has to happen to make them do that? Somebody's got to tell them they ain't right. That's what Jesus expects of us, to do that. That's hard. I don't want to offend anybody. I don't read one thing in there. Therefore, go make disciples, unless you might offend them, because then that's okay. No. Teach them. Teach them all that I have commanded you. That's mercy. It's merciful to tell them they're not right. I'm glad I'm not a priest or a bishop or something like that that's got to worry about this. You do have to worry about this. You have to worry about it for family members who don't go to Mass anymore, for belligerent, to things of the faith. You need to tell them. They need to get back to church. Their soul's in danger. Well, I love Aunt so-and-so. If you do, you'll tell her that. If you don't, you don't care one lick about her. This is the gospel. This is the good news. You've been belligerent to the church and not gone to Mass for 30 years. It's waiting for you. Go to confession. Jesus Christ will embrace you. It'll be like it never happened. Expiated. As if it never happened. That consequence of that is joy. That consequence. Our Lord Jesus Christ never once in his earthly ministry, nor do any of his apostles after that, say that this is going to be an easy task. He said that they will hate you because they hated me first. That's what he tells us. He says, take up your cross daily and follow me. These are the words of our Lord, not this drivel that we're hearing from places. We're not doing our job as a church. What is the pervasive message? Be nice. Give money. Don't pollute. Pagans do that. Godless heathens do that. Why do we exist if that's our message? We're to teach them all that our Lord Jesus Christ tells us. What are some of these things? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That's our message. Everybody's not okay. That's a lie. That is a bold-faced, out-and-out lie to present to people who don't know Christ. It's not the gospel. When we look at this, and we understand that we have a responsibility to teach everything that the Holy Spirit has given the church. Every Trinity Sunday, I print out and place the Athanasian Creed on the back. So when you're leaving, if you don't know what that is, grab it. And there's not a Sunday in Trinity that I do not hear from at least a few people every single week. I've been a Catholic for 50 years and I didn't even know what that is. It's a creed of our church. It's a creed of our church. And why don't you hear about it? Because it says, if you're not a Catholic, that you won't inherit eternal life. Well, because the church doesn't teach that. A dogma. Dogma are what we must believe to be Catholics. A dogma of the Catholic Church is outside the Catholic Church, there is no salvation. That is an unalterable dogma of the Catholic Church. A lot of whole lot of sophistry and gymnastics go tap dancing around that. Why, it doesn't mean what it says, but that's what it says. That's the gospel. And this is Trinity Sunday. And this is, oh, look at him being a hard case today. It's Trinity Sunday. What we're talking about the gospel for? The gospel is Trinitarian. This whole message can be in a nutshell. You know, I said, joy and mercy is a consequence of telling people the truth. If you look at the Blessed Trinity, the life of the Blessed Trinity, that's how it pans out. This isn't me. Bishop Athanasius Schneider, love him, read him, inwardly digest him. Watch everything you can where he speaks. I quote, "The right order of truth and love, as it is reflected in the life of the Holy Trinity, where love proceeds from truth, is the basic law of the church and Christianity and all pastoral efforts." When you look at the life of the Trinity, the Father who begets the Son, who is truth personified, the Holy Spirit that is the manifestation, the personification of the love between the Father and the Son, proceeds from that truth. You don't have love without the truth. This is the life of the Trinity. It's an example for us in our message. Teach. Teach them all I have commanded you, the way I have commanded you. We've got some very bad things going on. And when I say bad, that is a gross understatement. I can't think of enough adjectives. It's what some of the stuff that's going on now. For those of you who pay attention, there's a lot of people around here who pay attention to things that go on in the church. You hear this term, synodality, doctrinal decentralization. That's Protestantism. Doctrinal decentralization. That means this group of Catholics can believe this over here. This group of Catholics can believe that over here. It's evil. It's contradictory to the nature of the Catholic Church. Catholic, universal, things that are believed by all Catholics everywhere. It's just a matter of blowing off truths and doctrines. This is a matter of coddling evil. Not speaking about evil, not speaking about sin. What's even more grotesque is they don't even leave it at that. They're blessing, purportedly, blessing evil people. Blessing evil relationships. Germany. What's going on in Germany is horrendous. And there are people in the church who love it. We should be able to do what we want. Go join the Lutherans. Be an Anglican. They do what they want. We don't. It's a reality of things. Synodality is not Catholic. Violates the nature of the church. Well, come on, guy, lighten up. Jesus came to lighten everything up. Did he? Like the commandments? You shall not kill. If you think evil of someone, you violated that commandment. Thou shalt commit adultery. You even think about it, you violated that. That doesn't sound like lightening up to me. That sounds like our Lord came and ratcheted things up. Not to mention things like explicitly teaching us about the Trinity, that whole mysterious concept. Speaking of his own divinity. Speaking more about the last judgment than he ever does about heaven. Getting real detailed about the eternal and suffering that goes on in hell. Great detail. He instituted the Mass that we are obliged to attend. He instituted the seven sacraments that didn't exist before then. He didn't lighten anything up. And he says to us, And now you go, teach them all that I have commanded you. This isn't a time for inculcating rules and regulations. That is the gospel. Rules and regulations to live a holy life. Because if you don't live a holy life, you don't go to heaven. And how do you live it if you don't know what the rules are? That's why we're here. That's why Catholic parents are supposed to be Catholic parents. Oh my gosh. Heard it again this week. Well, my husband believes that, you know, they should make that decision about their religion when they get old enough. What about train up a child in the way he's go and they won't depart from it? I don't want to be responsible for my children. You will be answerable for their souls. Not to matter the mortal sin of saying something like that. It is not up to a child. I let my child walk out in the street. Doesn't make any difference. That's ridiculous. Let them make the decision later on in their life after their eyebrow deep in sin. It's ridiculous. Remember the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is identified in different parts, and we're in the part that's called the Church Militant. We're the Church Militant. And you kind of watch out what you hear, because there are some bishops around, we don't use that term anymore. Well, Excellency, you might serve the Church Surrendering. That's not Jesus' church. Church Militant. Why do they call the Church Militant? Because of her ceaseless struggle against her enemies. The world, the flesh, the devil. That's the reality of gospel. Fighting evil that comes from those temptations, that those three things are the source of them. And usually a combination. Evil that if you don't fight it, will destroy your soul. And the souls of those whom you've been given charge in this world. Doctrinal decentralization, sin alley, evil's allowed. It's not addressed, it's allowed. It's even, again, more despicably, it's purportedly blessed. Rules and regulations are what Jesus Christ is about. Knowing our Lord's commandments are what leads to love and joy. Where do you get that? From Jesus. The Gospel of John, chapter 15, after the vine and the branches parable. That parable that speaks of our union with Christ, what he expects of us in union with him, and the dire consequences if he doesn't get what he expects. After he says that, St. John says that our Lord said, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be full. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself gives that formula to Bishop Athanasius, maybe someday, Bishop Athanasius Schneider, purport. The life of the Trinity shows the order of things. Truth, love, then mercy. This is the reality of the gospel that we should live. Who am I to do that? You have the authority of Almighty God himself. He starts this whole thing out by saying, all authority has been given me in heaven and on earth. And then what does he do? He ascends into heaven and he gives us the charge to continue his mission in this world in his place. That's what we do. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what in many places we're not doing. We have his authority and his power to do it. Go therefore. Behold, I am with you all days, even to the consummation of the world. We don't ever get this little tidbit like that homily startup. In this day, the Spirit, I am with you always in this struggle to the end of the world. We're not allowed to slack. In the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost.